for our Bible lesson today. I'm going to pick up and think, try to finish the help for the caregiver facing the challenges with understanding and strength by Michael Emlett. We've most recently been thinking about the practical side of addressing steps to take when you're either personally involved in giving care to someone else, or you're coming along someone who is giving care. And the first practical step that the author gives, he says this way, he says, get ready, get set, be still. And we looked at the taking care of yourself spiritually in the midst of caring for someone else, and saw some of the practical strategies that come from that. He doesn't stop there, though, and makes several more points that I'm going to follow today. The second step that he counsels is to attend to your own health, or take care of yourself physically. It's hard work caring for someone who is sick. It's draining, and that it's hard work caring for someone who's healthy. I think, rightfully identified that mothers of young children can fall into this class as well, and it is hard work, and can be physically draining. It's short-sighted for you to burn yourself out trying to care for someone else. And it's easy to fall into that mentality. I even find that it's almost put up as a virtue to have, you see in the movie someone that never leaves the bedside of the one who is sick, or you read about it in a book, and it's almost raised up to say, this is the highest that you could do. It's self-sacrificial love. And there is something to be said for self-sacrificial love, but there's also wisdom that leads you to make sure that you don't burn yourself out, but that you recognize that caring for someone may indeed be a long process, and that it is wise and proper for you to get some sleep. You don't have to stay up 3-4 days straight. Well, you probably can't do that anyway. And if you did, you won't be good for several days thereafter. So I thought of an illustration of this from a John Wayne movie. I'm on a John Wayne kick today, I guess. I think it was The Searchers that this happened in. John Wayne it was a younger guy that they were out searching. That's the name of the movie. But they get word, they're several days from home, they get word that the homestead has been attacked. And guess what happens? Well, the young guy saddles up his horse and races out of camp. He's gonna gallop his horse the whole way home. And John Wayne says, "Don't do it. You'll never make it. Don't do it." And he can't be stopped. He's on his horse and he races off. And the next scene shows him off of his horse walking it because his horse is spent. And John Wayne comes plodding along, not plodding, but at a good pace, and he passes him, and he says, "See you at home." And he paced himself on his way home. So some practical theology from John Wayne, not to burn yourself out.
He also let the horse get some rest.
He did, yes, yeah. You can't ride your horse, or your spouse, or to exhaustion in caring for for the others. So take care of yourself physically. You need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to rest. And think of that if you're coming alongside someone as providing an opportunity for them to rest by giving them a break or coming in to sit with someone in the hospital or bringing some food to someone who's caring for someone else. That's one of the reasons why we gravitate towards the giving of food, is that it's a sense of caring for the physical side. Secondly, plow your own heart. Again, the term given by the author here. Remember that the sovereignty of God leads us to believe that the Lord has brought us into these circumstances for our good. As hard as that may seem in the midst of the spiritual and physical challenges that we face, that we need to recognize that God has something for us to learn. Now, I also said that the one we're caring for is made in God's image, and that God has reasons for what's happening in their lives, but that's their story. That's not your story. Your story is what God is doing in you because of this circumstance. The author says, you may not be able to change the chronic, life-altering aspects of your loved one's physical or mental struggle, but you can be sure that God is intent on transforming you more fully into the character of Christ as you care for your loved one. So we talked about what God is, that you are made in God's image as well. And as you're going through this, think of your own specific temptations, the frustrations that commonly rise up because of that, the sin that you find yourself entangled in, and ask God to address those in the midst of that troubling time. That think very personally about your own heart and ask God to cleanse you and strengthen you and to be clothed with faith in the midst of that trial. Thirdly, be an instrument of redemption. Ask God to give you wisdom to know what you are responsible for dealing with and what you are not responsible for dealing with. In the booklet, the author, you might remember, starts with an example of George, who has had a stroke. And George has become belligerent and has outbursts of anger. As you are the caregiver, it's appropriate to say, what is my responsibility in this situation? My responsibility is to not respond in kind, to be gentle and forgiving when others sin against me, and when possible, to restore gently and firmly, and to try to understand what that other individual is going through, and trying to seek to understand that and to address any underlying causes. It's good to remember that typically illness or disease or aging is going to bring changes on a loved one that they haven't sought out. They didn't go into that situation wanting to become belligerent or having outbursts of anger or to not recognize you or to a variety of different things. So deal with that with understanding. And while we aren't responsible for the other person's sins, we're not responsible for the sins of the one we're taking care of. That leads to a couple of conclusions. One is that it's we respond by not sinning back. That's our first posture. We love and work in that situation. It's also okay to you don't just have to stay and say nothing. It's appropriate to step out of that situation to take a break from that, either physically or emotionally, to leave the room. An outburst of anger, you don't just have to sit and take it. It's appropriate to leave or to show disapproval in ways that are appropriate in that situation. It does take wisdom to discern what's going on in each situation and to make sure your response fits that circumstance. And then finally, this is one that Emlet mentions that I'd like to expand on just a little bit, and that is to live in community. We are a body of Christ, and we care for each other. And we want to help each other out in spiritual and emotional and in physical ways. But nobody wants to be a burden or to weigh others down by whatever trouble that we're facing. And there's a good aspect to that. It's good to be responsible for yourself. It's good to be responsible for your family and your own. And there's biblical patterns of a first line of care being our own family. But there's something bad in that attitude of not wanting to be a burden too, because it so often results in isolation. And I think this is a place where we like to be the one helping someone else. It's harder, though, to be the one being helped for a variety of different reasons. And what we're trying to build in the congregation, what we, I think, have built and are trying to even grow deeper and greater, is to have a culture that helps and cares and prays. And it's my prayer that the Lord would bless our congregation to grow deeper and deeper in that. And there are some practical ways that can happen. That includes visiting those that are sick or in prison, to visit those who are caring for those who are sick or in prison or having young children, help practically with meals or with children or with household jobs. And if you are in the midst of caring for others, or if in God's providence that's a path that you haven't walked yet, but you will one day, I want to encourage you that it's very appropriate to ask for help and to receive help. Our Aunt Irma and Uncle Tom in Beaver Falls have received this from the congregation. They've asked for help. Tom doesn't get out very, very much. And I was in their home earlier this spring, and I saw a list of who was visiting them on a weekly basis. And right within the congregation, they'd set up a schedule of calling on Irma and Tom, specifically Tom, and that gave Irma an opportunity to do shopping or to get out, and it gave personal contact and knowledge for others in their for that family. They would come and just sit and talk with Tom or play a game or something like that, something that they would enjoy. So it's okay to receive that. It's okay to ask for that. And I'll just add that it's a part of really a profound, beautiful Christian virtue to be involved in bearing one another's burdens. And if you're on the receiving end of that, I hope that you would nurture a sense of being the one another that that is receiving at that point. That ends the this little booklet of Help for the Caregiver.